Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to the Shiur. This evening, we're going to speak about a sensitive topic related to davening. We'll connect it to Parshas Ki Tisah, and I'm going to call the Shiur with the following title: Davening with Respectful Chutzpah. Is that a valid approach to davening, where you want to approach Hashem and you have an urgent matter? You obviously want to be respectful because you're talking to the creator of the world, but you also have an urgent matter. And it's urgent. You don't want to really accept no for an answer. So there's a little bit of chutzpah there, a little bit of chutzpah. But we'll call it respectful chutzpah. All right, that'll be our thought-provoking question this evening. And we'll start with the parsha because we're going to see it comes up in the parsha more than one time. Shmos Lamed Beis, after the Chedah Egel, Hashem says to Moshe, they're an Am K'she Oref. Ding, ding, ding. They're stubborn. Now we're going to learn that is the reason why we deserve to be annihilated. And it's also the Midah that will save us. It's going to be that same Akshonus, that same stubborn nature that we're going to have a Midah of davening and not taking no for an answer. But what does Hashem tell Moshe? V'ata hanichali, leave me alone. V'char api v'hem, I'm so upset with Klal Yisrael v'achaleim, I'm going to destroy them. V'ese oscha l'goy gadol. I'm going to make you, Moshe, in the singular, you're going to become a new nation. So what does Rashi say? When Hashem told Moshe, leave me alone, that was a hint, because Moshe was not yet davening. So if Hashem told Moshe, leave me alone, that was a wink. Because Moshe said, what? Why is Hashem telling me, leave me alone, if I didn't even start davening yet? Ella, rather, kan pesach lo pesach. Hashem opened up a little opening for him. V'odia shadavar talui bo. When Hashem said, Moshe, leave me alone, ironically, he actually meant the opposite of that. And he said, Moshe, really, stay and daven. Shem yispalel aleihem lo yichalem. Because if you daven for Bnei Yisrael, Moshe, they will not be destroyed. So the most ironic thing, Hashem says, leave me alone. Yeah, but logically, that makes no sense because I'm not talking to you. I am leaving you alone. Elamai, you need to read between the lines and understand that Hashem really wants you to daven, Moshe Rabbeinu. Whoa. But when Moshe davens, he's davening. The Gemara Maseches Brachos, Lamed Beis, Amud Aleph, says that when Hashem told Moshe that he was going to turn him into a great nation, in exchange for Klal Yisrael, who would be destroyed, Rabbi Yebo comments, if not for this pasuk, you would not be able to interpret what actually happened. Melamed shetzfaso Moshe laHakadosh Baruch Hu ka'adam shu tofes es chaver bevigdo. Moshe kiviyachol, so to speak, grabbed onto Hashem as if someone's grabbing onto his friend's cloak. V'amar lefanav. So you have Moshe grabbing on again. Hashem does not have a body, obviously. But kiviyachol, lemashal, Moshe grabs onto the Ribbono Shel Olam and says, Ribbono Shel Olam, Ein ani manichach, I ain't letting you go, ad shetimcho v'tislach lem, until you forgive the Jewish people. Wow. And you know what? Moshe davened to Hashem and says, Rebbe Lazar, Moshe davened so hard that he became sick. And Shmuel said that he was willing to give up his life when he said, erase me from your book, Hashem. And the Rabbanim say over there, that Moshe said, Ribbono Shalom, chulin hulach. This would be profane. This would be beneath your dignity to do what you're about to do. So pretty bold, no? Alvin?
It says by Yechal. That's what
they. Yeah, very good, right, very good. Chola, very good, right. I think Mar is speaking up on the words in the Pesukim, of course. Excellent. So this is the big shaila. Moshe Rabbeinu approaches Hashem in this week's parsha with, we'll call it a respectful chutzpah. Very bold level of davening, meaning he was not going to take no for an answer. Very good. Very good, very good. So AB points out that it seems to have more chutzpah than respect. It's a fair point. We'll learn about that. Shmo Islam and Bezlam and Alv later in the Parsha. Bayashav Moshe al Hashem Ayomer Ana Chata Ha'am Azeh Chata Gdola. Okay, yeah, it's true. They did this all. Bayashav Elohe Zav. That's true. But if you let it go, that's great. But if you don't let it go, Hashem, if you don't forgive them, erase me from the Bible. Now, what does Rashi say? They made an Elohei Zav. Moshe says, you know why they made a golden god? Because of you, Hashem. Where did they get all the gold from? Shashbatam Zav v'chochavzim. You gave them all this gold. Of course they were going to sin. Mashal, lemelech shehaya machil l'mashias beno. A king feeds his son, gives his son wine or drink. Umekashto, he puts fancy jewelry around him. Tolo kiss, but Savardo, and he hangs a wallet around his neck. Umamido bepesach beit zonos, and puts it in front of a house where he can sin with women. What's he going to do?
And the Gemara continues. Mayase had vain, the lo yechto.
Yeah, meaning, Hashem, you set them up for failure. This is your fault, not theirs. Again, very, very bold level of tefillah. And again, later on in the parsha as well, in Lamed Gimel, Hashem had told Klal Yisrael, because of the sin, he would no longer be escorting Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael directly. Rather, an angel, a malach, would take Hashem's place. They won't have the most intimate knowledge of Hashem. And Moshe was not going to settle for that. Moshe says, Hodieni nas derechecha. No. Hashem, hello. Ve'eda achal leman emtzachen b'nei ureki amcha agoy hazeh. And Hashem agrees. Ve'yomer panai eleichu. Okay, I'll go. Ve'anichos ilach. And then Moshe argues back. Ve'yomer elav im ein panecha holchem. Oh, you better do it. Because what? Im ein panecha holchem alta aleinu mizeh. Because if you don't take us, we're not moving. We're not budging unless you actually go. Moshe was not settling. Rashi says, you promised. You're saying, what, you're going to send an angel? That's not what you promised earlier. You promised that we would know you intimately. This is not the highest level of relationship. Sifzei Chachamim explains Rashi and the Pasuk over there that Hashem, I need to tell you something, says Moshe. If you weren't going to say yes to this, we wouldn't move until we all died and our children died. We weren't taking no for an answer. OMG. So what do we think about this? Do we think that halacha lema'aseh, in the year 2024, we have the right to approach the Ribbono Shel Olam with this level of chutzpah, of not taking no for an answer? Is that a valid style of davening, of prayer?
Been done.
Okay, yeah.
Rebbes do this all the time.
So Rebbes do it. Now, so AB understands, let's say, the Hasidim, they need something, and they say, Rebbe, I need a Yeshua. And the Rebbe davens to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Rebbe davens.
And he doesn't take no for an
answer. And the Rebbe, when the Rebbe davens, he means it. Very good, very good. We're going to learn that. We're going to learn that as a source, by the way. That's very valuable.
And
then that Rav Pinkus said.
Yeah, I think Yom Kippur davening talks about that kind of thing. No, you're going to forgive us. It's kind of like...
We assume that Hashem forgives us on Yom Kippur, but we don't approach him with confidence. We approach him...
Oh, come on. But all the tunes are so joyful and happy on Yom Kippur.
Yeah, that's true. But we also know that. See, we approach Hashem. Now, it is true that there's a mitzvah to be happy on Motzei Yom Kippur because we have to be confident that Hashem did forgive us. But the style of Yom Kippur is one of trepidation. Ne'ilah is not
Rosh
fun.
Rosh Hashanah is Yom Kippur.
Right. Rosh Hashanah, we are more joyous.
No, there's more trepidation. Don't know yet.
Yeah, no, but there's Simcha and Rosh Hashanah to a large, there's a meal. Yom Kippur is like, we are really serious. Like, Ne'ilah is, everything is on the line. It's scary. But I hear what you're saying, Adam, meaning the underlying theme of the Amun Arayim is that we assume everything's going to work out. But I don't think it necessarily affects the tone of the Machzor. Meaning, we don't approach Hashem like this, at least. No, you're right. We are. We're confident, and there's a lot of Torah. Why? How can we be so happy on Rosh Hashanah? But who else daven like this besides Rosh Rabbeinu? Chana. So we learned the Gemara and Brachos already, and around those daven in the Lamids, the early Lamids, and Mesechus Brachos. So in Lamid Aleph, I'm a Beis. Onto Lamid Beis, I'm an Aleph. The Gemara goes through Tfilas Chana. Very intense. Chana has no children, and she davens. Very, very hard. Amra Chana l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribbono Shel Olam, Mikol Tzvaya Tzvaokos, Shebarasa Be'olamach, you created everything. Kasha Be'einecha, Shetitim Li Ben Echad, you can't give me one kid. You created everything. Mashal Ma'adav Adomer, there's a king, he made a big feast to all of his servants, and one little ani came, stood at the door, and pleaded, please give me one piece of bread. And the king did not listen. He banged and he came to the king. Please, king, the whole meal you made, you can't give me one piece of bread. So too, Chana says, Hashem, you can't give me one son. Im ra'o tir'eh. What does that mean? What does that mean? Says Rav Elazar, she said to Hashem, Im ra'a mutav. If you say yes to me, great. And if you don't say yes to me, Chana says, you'll see. I have a strategy. What am I going to do? What was your game plan? I'm going to go seclude myself in front of my husband with another man. He's going to suspect me of being a sota. He will make me drink the waters, and I'm going to be innocent. And guess what you promised in the Torah? If I'm innocent, if I'm guilty, I'll blow up. I'll explode. But if I'm innocent, you have to make me pregnant. So Hashem, you better say yes, because if you don't say yes, I'm gonna go find the back door to become pregnant through your own Torah. Now the Gemara says, well, that's only one opinion that says that, whatever, you know. The Gemara has a whole debate about it. You know, not everyone agrees to that strategy, whatever. But later on in the Gemara, says, Amar of Elazar, Mishum of Yosef and Zimra, she said, you know what she said? You created women, right? What, with extra body parts? You gave us eyes to see, ears to hear, nose to smell, mouth to speak, hands to do stuff, legs to do stuff. Why did you give me dadayim? The area where a child should be nursing from. I don't need them. Take them back. Why'd you give me these things? Tain li bain. At least give me a kid so I could use my body the way it's supposed to be created. Woo! This is a good law school. This is what we want to see. This is geschmack. It's stark. Oh, now Adam comes back and really hits me in the gut over there. Rabbi, you're wrong. On Rosh Hashanah, we speak about Chana because we should daven with that Gaiva the Kedusha, the Azaz the Kedusha, as Rabbi Nachman Breslov said. Okay, I stand corrected. Very good, Adam. Very good. By the way, okay, not for now. All right, so moving on. So here's the key line of the evening. V'amar Rabbi Elazar, Chana hiticha dvarim klape mala. She basically threw words at heaven. It's a derogatory statement, meaning she went over the line. She approached tefillah with an intensity that she should not have. She threw her words like darts at Hashem, basically. Because the Torah says, Vatitpalal al Hashem. She davened on God instead of to God. Says Rabbi Elazar, Eliyahu did the same thing. And you know what? Hashem listened to him. Says Rabbi Elazar, and Moshe did the same thing. You know, that would be maybe in Bamidbar, right, where we talk about maybe Moshe davening to go into Eretz Yisrael, whatever, but not necessarily this week's parsha. But it's a fascinating idea. And the idea of Eliyahu and Navi, again, you have people saying, Hashem, this is your fault. I mean, you gave Klal Yisrael the Yetzirah. You gave them the Yetzirah. That's what Eliyahu was saying. That you can't wipe Klal Yisrael. This is your fault. Just like Rashi in this week's Parsha with the gold. Eliyahu Navi also, in the Rashi Maseches Brachos, says that was Eliyahu's tefillah. But now let's try to zoom out. So, all right, we have on the books that Chana did this, Moshe did this, Eliyahu did this. And even though the Gemara says this was disrespectful, Hashem agreed. Right? Eliyahu HaNavi was granted his request. So what do we think? Are we allowed to do this? Can we engage in prayer with such chutzpah? Imagine Rachmana Litzlan, someone has a child in Gaza and makes a demand of Hashem. Hashem, I'm not moving until my kid comes home. I'll tell you a crazy story. Again, this is, I don't want to maybe say my name. I don't want it to reflect poorly on the person, but in my humble opinion, it reflects well on the person. Certain music artist in the Jewish music world, very spiritual one. And, you know, wasn't always a rabbi. I'm a ninth grader, 10th grader. It was a little Kumsitz concert in Woodmere and Rav Moshe Weinberger's shul. And this particular band had made a eulogy for Shlomo Kalbach, whatever. And there was a little intermission. And I go to the lead singer. I said, could you play eulogy tonight? It was like a good type of concert for that type of song. It was like acoustic, kind of chilled out, whatever. He said, that's a great idea, actually. So he listened to me. And he said on the microphone, he said, some of the kids asked that I play this song. And he said the story. He said when Shlomo Kalbach died, I was distraught because he was my Rebbe, he was my best friend. This is what he said. He said, I went to the Kotel and I said, Hashem, I'm not leaving here until you give me a song. That's what he said. He sat by the Kotel all day and he left with his niggun. And it's a beautiful song. It's a beautiful song. Wild, right? So it's a thing. It's a thing. Now again, you could argue that was wrong. I mean, okay, he got a song. You know, again, whatever you want to call that story, it's a story. Let's not even try to interpret the story. But at a minimum, he said that's what he did. He approached God with this type of chutzpah. Fascinating. And this is, the Maharsha calls it, when you approach Hashem with davar nitzuach klape shemaya. What does that mean? It's competitive. It's there's a winner, there's a loser. Nitzuach, it's a fight. It's Hashem, I need this. And I need to win. I need to beat you. Yikes. So this is the problem. If you rewind in that Gemara, Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, Rav Amnuna says, Kam hilchasa givarta ika lemishma mehani kray dechana. We actually are numerous halachas of tefillah from Chana's prayer. Numerous. Well, Chanahi medeberes aliba, that means that you need to have kavana. Raks if se'a na'os, that means when you daven, the words need to come out of your lips. But v'kola lo yishameh means that you can't be too loud when you daven. Now Eli HaKohen thought she was drunk, that means you can't daven when you're drunk. So numerous halachos are learned out from Tfilos Chana. Numerous halachos are learned out from Tfilos Chana. But does that include what? Her tone, her chutzpah. Wasn't on the list. And this is the, if you rewind even earlier, it's ironic. We're going backwards in Maseches Brachos. Now we're on Lamed Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, "Ein omdim lifnei, oem lispala elam mitoch kovid rosh." You cannot daven unless you have what's called kovid rosh. And the Mishnah famously then says that the original Chassidim would wait an hour before they davened in order to mentally prepare for tefillah. Beautiful. Where do we know that you need kovid rosh? We haven't even defined the term. But at a minimum, kovid rosh means kavana. And we'll learn halakhically it means a level of humility. You need to approach Hashem knowing that you're a human and Hashem's Hashem. And you have to go in with a kovid rosh. Literally, Mefarshim say kovid, like your heavy head. You put your head down, like in humility. You bow because you're almost ashamed to talk to God directly. But, you know, Machlokes Rishonim how to literally interpret the words. But the Gemara says, how do we know you approach Hashem with this kovid rosh, this approach? Says Relazer, well, Chana, she had maras nafesh. Torah says that she davened with maras nafesh, which apparently is kovid rosh. So when you approach God with maras nafesh, that means you're davening with kovid rosh, meaning with a bitter soul. I guess it means kavana, but says the Gemara, no, you can't use Chana as a proof. You know why? Tehavas merira libatuva. She had an exceedingly large amount of anguish. Her heart was in a very bad place, which means she's an exception to the rule. So it's true we learn a lot of things from Chana's prayer, but here the Gemara says black on white, we can't learn everything from Chana because she was distraught when she davened. And here we're going to try to argue that maybe there are different styles of prayer for different scenarios. And maybe a random mincha for a person who's more or less okay would not be able to approach Hashem a certain way. But if you're going through what we're going to call merivus liba, you're going through some really tough agony, so maybe the chutzpah should come up. Maybe that there is a place for chutzpah. And the Maharsha says, listen, we learn a ton from Chana, but this we can't learn from Chana because that doesn't apply to Stam B'nai Adam, that level of anguish that she was going through. That's what I just said. Now let's just learn halacha for a second, because let's now contrast in the actual halacha. How is a quote-unquote normal person supposed to daven? And then maybe we can argue there is an abnormal way to daven in extenuating circumstances. Here we go. Shulchan Aruch Tzadikim Abeis. Lo yamod lispal, don't daven unless you have ema, like an awe of God, a fear, v'hachna'ah, and you're humble. Lo mitoch schok v'kalas rosh. You can't be too lightheaded. V'lo mitoch ka'as. Skipped a little bit. You can't be angry. El mitoch simcha. You have to be happy when you approach Hashem. So says the Mishnah Berurah. Listen, obviously, the best way to approach Hashem is with a fear and a humility. But we're not on that madrega all the time. So at a minimum, don't daven when you're so lightheaded. Meaning, at a minimum, don't be giggly when you daven. Ideally, you should really be, you know, in the zone. Ne'ila. You're in the zone. You have fear of Hashem. You have humility in front of Hashem. We're not always at ne'ila. We're not always there. So at a minimum, don't be drunk. At a minimum, don't be giggly. Okay, but that's normal tefillah. So I think we could easy time relating to that. At a minimum, don't be too lightheaded when you daven. And ideally, try to get into the zone as much as you can. Okay, good. There is a Shailas Tshuvos of the Divrei Malkiel, a rabbi born in Poland in the middle of the 1800s, makes it to 1910. And he says, listen, you're not allowed to daven when you're sad, but what if that emotion is channeled into your tefillah itself? So if the Giants lose, and then you go to Mincha, you need to block that out because you're not allowed to daven when you're sad. And Shimon Esrei has nothing to do with the Giants. So get over it, you know, get yourself put together and daven like a mensch. But if you're sad and it's part of your tefillah, use it. Use that raw emotion. What happened? Afilu cherev chada muneches al tzavaro. Who was destined to die? Chizkiyahu Melech was told you're going to die. And he said, I got to fight that gezeira. I got to do it. I'm not taking this at face value. If I'm told there's a gezeira that I'm going to die, and he won. And the Gemara in that context says that even if there's a sharp sword at your neck, you don't stop davening. You don't stop davening. Fascinating. So we never give up on davening. The only thing is that later on in his tshuva, he says, well, what about Chana? What happened over there? This is a wild shot. He says, it is true that Chana went over the line. It is true. But we often get that Gemara wrong. He has a suggestion in that Gemara. He says that most people need to prepare for davening. But Chana was different because she was so emotionally torn. She was a mess. She was had so much sadness. She was broken. So you know what? She didn't need to prepare for davening. You can't use her as a proof for davening, because most people need to prepare for davening. But you can't use Chana as an example. Amar Nefesh doesn't represent normal davening, because most people aren't ready just to go to Ne'ilah.
Whoa. She was clinically depressed.
No, I wouldn't say that. But what the issue is that when you are so upset, when there's an emotion tugging at you so much, you might lose your words. There's no boundary. And that's why Chana needed the boundary. But the Gemara says, well, no, maybe she's different. But the idea is like this. Because Chana was so, dare I say, upset with Hashem, or you can say she had so much on the line, she's the one who needed special restrictions. Because Chana, you're so upset that if you're not careful, what's going to happen? You're going to slip. You're going to say something over the line. It's a hot mic, so to speak. But most people, it's low risk. At a regular mincha, we're not afraid that you're going to slip and curse out Hashem or anything like that. So you might not need COVID rosh. You might not need that level of preparation. So you can't use Chana as an example. Wild. Okay, so I just thought that was such an amazing interpretation of the Gemara, that Chana was more at risk for maybe losing her words and being a little bit too disrespectful. So yeah, we dafka don't like to use her as a paradigm because she needed special boundaries. Most people don't have that issue. But what emerges from all this is that we don't daven like Chana. We don't do that, right? Meaning the way you're supposed to approach Hashem is with humility. But what if you can't? What if you can't? What if you're not? What if you're going through a chana? What if your child is in Khan Yunis? What if your child is in Gaza as a captive? What if you are going through a crisis? Do you have permission to approach Hashem with like chana as long as you don't go overboard? Can you, let's say there are three madregos. Normal is one. The opposite extreme is way over the line. You know, cursing and yelling at God, which is, but then there's a middle ground. Can you daven with, we'll say, a firm tone, but within reason? Would you say that's halachically permissible? Is there a middle ground here? What would you say? Kosher or not kosher? Anyone think that's okay or no? Robert said, yeah. I mean, if you're going through a crisis, then what? Use it, right? That's what the different Malkiel said, meaning.
It's a bit dependent on the situation. Maybe I was getting wrong with you know, by myself, when I daven, I'm like, worry. Klal Yisrael, we will daven together.
Oh, so you can have more confidence when you're davening as a tzibur, you're saying. Very good. Very good. I like that a lot. So I'm going to point out that one of the most popular svarim on tefillah is Shimshon Pinkus' Sha'ar Mitzvilah. And he points out from a midrash, I forget all the details of the background of the sefer, but there are like 13 to 15 different languages for tefillah in Tanakh. And one of them is called Pigia. Right? So Pigia, says Rav Pinkus, is Riboy Bakashos Bakshanut. This is a valid approach to prayer, says Rav Pinkus, where you consistently, persistently, stubbornly approach God. And he quotes Rashi about Rus al tifki'i bi milashan hatzara. You're basically nudging God. You're asking over and over and over again. Ki'ilu eino note menucha v'shalva elav yisbarach ad sheyaseh bakashaso. Hashem, I'm not going anywhere until you give me what I need. Reminds us of Moshe in this week's Parsha. Eliyahu, Chana. And he says, V'chachi Aisa Tzilas Moshe, when he davened to get into Eretz Yisrael. And this is Abi's point. He literally says exactly what Abi said. V'chei nagu kol akdoshim, all of the holy Jews, kasher rotzu lahasik davar mashe hirbu b'tfila asher kadosh baruch hu asar b'tzoin. All the holy rebbes, they did not give up until Hashem gave in to what they needed.
Or you got to extend it. If he didn't, they didn't give up.
Okay, now again, Rav Pinkus goes on in the chapter and says, number one, Hashem knows what's best for us. We don't always. He has like a few major like qualifications. And there's a Gemara that says a woman davened and she didn't get what she wanted. She went off the derech. And she's like, yeah, it's not okay. You know, and maybe daven more broadly. Don't be too specific. The classic example is by a shidduch. You think that Reuven's the guy for you, but Hashem knows better. Reuven's not the guy for you. Don't be too specific because you don't always know what's best for yourself. Again, but, I didn't want to go into the whole chapter. But yes, Rav Pinkus says one of the valid approaches to prayer is what he calls pigia, that akshanus, that style of prayer where you literally don't want to take no. And I don't know too much of the Hasidus on this, but the Hasidus Shesvarim have what's called the Azus de Kedusha. And Azus de Kedusha, again, is this concept, and Rav Nachman of Breslov speaks a lot about this, where you are approaching Hashem with a chutzpahdika confidence, but in a good way. A chutzpahdika confidence that's actually very much cherished. Now, Rav Pinkus gave a mashal in the sefer that I didn't put on the Marmar Kumbos. It's like a kid and his son, where like the kid knows that if he nudges his Abba enough, the Abba loves him so much that the Abba will give in. I'm reading this, I'm like, I don't know, not all parents give into this. Like, there's a country saying, no, you don't want to spoil your children. Then I realize Pinkus is really just quoting a Gemara. Who was the ultimate Akshon, who was not in Tanakh, the guy who didn't want to take no for an answer? Choni HaMa'agel. When it was raining, things were great. And when it wasn't raining, you called Choni HaMa'agel out of the bullpen. Like, Choni, we need a backdoor, school here for rain. And the Gemara says that Adar had almost passed and there was no rain. So they called Choni out of the bullpen. And let's just say a couple of drops came down. And then they're like, Choni, this is not what we hired you for. And Choni, daven. And then, oh, did it rain? And they're like, Choni, this is not what we're down for either. It looks like the marble's coming. So Choni talks to Hashem very bluntly. Hashem, this is not what I asked for. Hashem, you're making me look bad. Hashem, calm the rain. And you know what? Hashem says, okay. And he gives Choni whatever he asks for. Again and again. And you know what? He brings a korban, but the idea was that he brings the korban. V'omer lefan of Ribono Shel Olam. God, you took them out of Egypt. You love them. You can't say no to them, basically. You took Einan Yecholim Lobero of Tova. They can't handle too much good or too much bad. So, you know, give them what they need. Give them what they need. And it worked. It worked. Okay. So here is the key line. Shimon ben Shetach says, you're lucky you're Choni HaMa'agel. Because if you weren't Choni HaMa'agel, you would deserve to be excommunicated. I mean, what you did was chutzpah. You spoke to Hashem as if he's your buddy. But what's the response? He said, what? I am Hashem's buddy. Have you met me? Like, that, there's a reason Klal Yisrael called me. And he said, Shimon ben Shetach said, but I can't put you in exclamation games because you daven and Hashem says yes to you. Like a son who sins before his father and the father gives into the son no matter what. Where the son says, Abba, give me a hot bath. And then he changes his mind, give me a cold bath. And the father's annoyed, but he listens. And the kid says, Abba, I want a gozim. And then he switches it. You know, whatever. I need this type of nut and that type of nut, or whatever. He says, I want a peach, and then I want a pomegranate. And even though the kid's annoying the father loves the kid. It's exactly what Pinkus said. So there's no question that there's a concept on the books of like this Azus de Kedusha. It's like literally in the Svarim Akadoshim. And it's a machlokis in the Gemara Tainus over here on Daf Chaf Gimel Rav. Shimon ben Shetach says, I don't like what you're doing, Choni, but you seem to get away with it, and I can't really say anything because this seems to be your thing. And like Hashem clearly listens, and he clearly loves you. Wow. Now you could take this too far and say, oh, I'm Choni HaMa'agel. I'm Choni HaMa'agel. Like, but and you're not. But there's so much to learn. I'll get a little bit personal in a second, but let's talk about Purim. There's an amazing midrash, and it's going to speak about Moshe again, where Moshe basically was Choni HaMa'agel. I don't mean that metaphysically on like a Gilgul Meshama level. I mean they did the same type of prayer. They found out in Shemayim what happened with Haman and the whole decree. Eliyahu was like, oh my gosh. He ran to the Avos and to Moshe, and he said, you guys got to wake up and do something. You're not doing anything. Wake up. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, they said, what can we do? If they did Avodah Zarah, there's really nothing we can do. So Eliyahu HaNavi wasn't taking no for an answer. He goes to Moshe. He says, are you the Roa Naaman? Aren't you the reliable shepherd? How many times, here it is, Amadata al HaPeretz, Yisrael, ubidalto gezeirasam. Moshe, how many times have you crossed the line with Hashem to save Klal Yisrael? How many times have you breached that wall for them? What do we say in Avinu Malkeinu? We do it, Adam. Kara roa gzar dinein. What do we basically say at Hashem? Hashem, we know you already paskined against us. Tear up the paper. Tear up the decree. There's nothing more chutzpahdik than that. Rip up the decree. So Eliyahu Navi says to Moshe, Moshe, you're the guy who goes over the line. This is what we need. We need someone who can go over the line right now. So Moshe says, well, is there a kosher guy in Klal Yisrael? Eliyahu said, yeah, there's this guy Mordechai. So Moshe said to Eliyahu, go tell Mordechai what happened. Wow. Wild idea. Because Moshe actually asked Eliyahu Navi if the decree was sealed with only cement or with blood. And it was only with cement, not with blood. Wild idea. Because Moshe said, if it was with tit, it's okay. But if it's with dam, you can't do anything. So Moshe said, go tell Mordechai, and there's still a chance. And by the way, what does Esther do in the Megillah? Where does she go? To the king's palace without an invitation, right? It's the same Yesod. Same idea, where I need to be a little bit chutzpahdik and get away with it right now. And that's where the whole idea of going to the king's office unannounced. And that's what Moshe said to Mordechai. Amar lo Moshe Rabbeinu, lech v'odia leMordechai. He told Mordechai, and Mordechai knew what happened. Because Moshe said, there's still room to push the envelope a little bit. Granted, their fate has been sealed, but it hasn't been sealed with blood. It's only been sealed with cement. Meaning, there's still room to argue, right? And kids know how to do this all the time with their parents, right? Meaning, bedtime's at 7:30. That's only with cement. It's not with blood, right? And this is something that we can learn from. You know, when a very close relative of mine was diagnosed with a very severe, you know, level of cancer. So the language used in like family WhatsApps and the communal WhatsApps was, we're here to storm the Shemayim. We're here to storm the Shemayim. Meaning, I think we have an intuitive knowledge, like what we were all saying before, that when there's a drought, you daven like Choni HaMa'aga. When you're barren, Hashem is asking you to be chutzpedik. Meaning, when Hashem is the one who's kind of winking at Moshe saying, I want you now to do your thing. Daven, like over... When Hashem is the one who throws you the challenge, seemingly he's the one who wants you to respond with high voltage. Now, even high voltage can go over the line. And that's why we don't learn everything from Chana. You know, there is an over the line. And in our generation, maybe we need to be extra cautious, because how many people feel so entitled to just drop insults? And people are way too entitled to talk and to their word choice and their tone. And with Hashem especially, we should go in like the regular halacha with hachna'a and kovod rosh. But maybe, just maybe, there's a time and place to storm the shamayim, to push the envelope and not take no for an answer, especially when we're doing it for the sake of Klal Yisrael and with the help of Klal Yisrael. So we should all have confidence in our prayer and maybe daven with, again, as much chutzpah as we think is appropriate.